From the Fort Payne Church of Christ, join us now as Jimmy Holland preaches the simple gospel of Christ. And now, here's Jimmy.
We've been talking about living a life that matters. We've began this discussion by looking at a life that matters begins with fearing God and keeping His commandments. We've talked about how in order to live a life that matters, we have to live humbly. Last week, we talked about how we need to live triumphantly, that we serve a God that is mighty, we serve a God that is awesome, we serve a God that is mindful. But living a life that matters also requires that we live a life with complete trust in God. The way that we cope with life stresses has an extreme impact on the life that we live. And when I use that word cope, I mean, how do we endure? How do we handle? How do we manage the stresses of life? Because the fact of the matter is, when stress hits us, it becomes much more difficult to manage. You know, Mike Tyson had a saying one time that says, everyone has a game plan until they get hit in the face the first time. You know, we all have an idea of how we are going to handle things until we are put in that situation. A few years ago, I was sitting in my office and the phone rang, and the youth minister answered the phone, and he came and stepped in my office and he said, somebody needs us outside. It was our maintenance man. And so we walk outside, and Brother Robert had stepped off a ladder wrong and broke his leg. And so we run over to him and we're calling 911 and trying to keep him comfortable, and the youth minister says, what do I do? What do I do? I said, well, I need you to go get some towels. And he runs off in the opposite direction. And then he comes running back and he says, what did you say do? And I said, I need some towels. And he said, okay, and he ran off in the other direction, still the wrong way. And ultimately everything worked out fine. But when we get put in stressful situations, sometimes we have a hard time thinking. We have a hard time doing what we need to do. And when it comes to trusting God, when it comes to living a life that matters, or living trustfully, it's one of those things that's easier said than done. Statistics show that at no time in our nation's history have more people been employing the use of counselors, psychologists, and therapists than today. And I'm not saying that as a negative thing. There are times where we need extra help in coping with struggles, with our struggles, with our difficulties. And there is nothing in the world wrong with getting help when we need it. It's good. It's wise. But no one can offer more help than our Almighty God. And throughout Scripture, we see people who had to learn to cope. Joseph had to learn how to cope with the betrayal of his brothers, of being sold into slavery, being falsely accused and put into prison, being forgotten by 2 years by a man that said, oh, I'll remember you when I go back to Pharaoh. David had to learn to cope with the consequences of his own actions, of his own sin. Daniel had to cope with a conspiracy to take his life. Jesus had to cope with rejection. Jesus had to cope with the betrayal of one of his closest friends and then being murdered on a cross. Paul had to cope with his thorn in the flesh. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have an entire chapter of people who had to cope with something. They had to deal, they had to manage, they had to endure something, but all of these people had one thing in common. We see that by faith, Noah, being warned of things not yet seen, moved with fear to the building of an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. The one thing that they all had in common was faith. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without that faith, without that complete trust in God, it is impossible to please Him. If we do not have this level of faith when stress comes, then we're going to begin to act in ways that we don't normally act. And that's what our adversary, that's what Satan, that's what he wants. He wants us to cave to the pressure. He wants us to feel the stress and start behaving in ways that we wouldn't normally behave. And we combat that by having complete trust in God. Look at what happened to King Saul when stress came about. When fear entered the picture, he's about to go into battle. And Samuel's not there yet to offer the sacrifice. And he knows this sacrifice needs to be offered before they can go into battle. So what does fear call Saul to do? To offer a sacrifice he wasn't authorized to make. And it ended up costing him his kingdom. You look at Judas. When the pressure hit Judas, when stress, when tragedy hit Judas, when Judas finally realized what he had done to Christ, what was his reaction? He went out and he hanged himself. Without complete trust in God, when stresses of this life happen, we will behave in ways we don't normally behave. So what do we do when we don't know what to do? Let's go to our scripture reading this morning. I appreciate Brother Jim reading that. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 gives us the answer to this question. What do we do when we don't know what to do? And I, as I said at the beginning, I understand that everything that we're about to talk to this morning sounds cliche. I understand that it's something that is easier said than done, but it's not cliche. It's truth. And just because it's easier said than done doesn't mean it's impossible. So what do we do? Solomon tells us in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Solomon's words of wisdom are to put the problem in hands bigger than your own. You know, there's a story of a little girl who's out in the yard picking up limbs after a storm with her dad. And she was watching as her dad would pick up a limb and would break it over his knee. And she was trying to emulate her dad. And so she was picking up sticks and she was breaking them over her knee. But what would happen is she would come across a stick that she couldn't break. So she would take it to her dad and she said, "Daddy, I can't do this on my own. I'm not strong enough." And so he would take it and smile and he would break it. Not long after, the little girl gets sick and she passes away. And as the story goes, the father is at her grave. And he's on his knees and he's praying to God, saying, "God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own." And that story paints a beautiful picture of how our God is there for us. And how I need to trust that He is there. That He is able to give me the help that I need. That there are things in this life that I can't handle on my own. And I need to recognize that. And I need to trust that if I put those things in His hands, He can handle it. And He will handle it. Peter tells us to cast all our anxiety upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. And He is able to take care of those things. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, Paul tells us this, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus." God can handle it. And as I said, as cliche as it sounds, the truth is, we need to learn to put things in the hands of our God. Sometimes when we are at our lowest points, phrases like this, like "trust in the Lord with all your heart," when we are in our lowest points, they may not offer much comfort. But that's because Satan loves to create doubt in our minds. And if you could go and you could ask everyone that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, is trusting in the Lord cliche? Is it just something that we say, but it doesn't amount to anything? No, they all would tell you that it's an eternal truth. That it was the greatest thing they ever did, was to trust the Lord with all their heart. David had issues with trusting the guidance of God. And there's a lot of proof that we have that shows the inspiration of God. But one of the things that I truly appreciate is an example such as David. David is described after a man after God's own heart. And it would have been easy to paint David in a light where he didn't have any flaws. But that's not what we find when we come to David, is it? You see, when we're told the story of David, we're told blemishes and all. He had some high points, and they show, and God's Word talks about those high points, about him standing before Goliath and saying, you know, I'm on God's side, and I'm going to win this. He's going to win this. But David also had some low points, didn't he? Bathsheba. And God's Word shows us that. And I love what David says about himself in Psalm 73. Beginning in verse 22, he says, I was brutish and ignorant towards you. I was like a beast towards you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you receive me to glory. David admitted and recalled times when he balked at God's leading, where he didn't understand why God wanted this, or why God instructed this, or why God was allowing this to happen. And he says, I was ignorant towards you. I was brutish. I was like a beast. He said, but despite my hesitancy, despite me questioning you, you held my hand. And your goal was to lead me to glory. See, David points out that God is ultimately leading us to glory. We don't always understand why God answers prayers the way that he answers prayers. We don't know, because we think that we know the answer, so when we ask God for something and he tells us no, we don't understand why. But I trust that he has my best interest at heart. And that's what Romans 8:28 is all about, isn't it? That all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose, that no matter what, I know that God has my ultimate good in mind. And that he's going to make that happen. That he's going to make sure that what's best for me is what happens. Just before I moved to Esto, I was just hired as the minister there at Esto, which was Lori's home congregation. You know, we had a plan in place. Esto hired me, Lori and I got engaged, and I was a week or two from moving down there, and you know, in my mindset, you know, I've got a new job, I need a new truck. So I had a perfectly good truck, the Danger Ranger, and so I went down to the Ford dealership and I found an F-150 that I wanted. And everything went smoothly until the guy said, well, you know, you don't have any credit, so you're going to need a co-signer. Okay. So I went to my dad and I showed him the truck and he said, yeah, it's a nice truck. And I said, all I need you to do is sign right here. He said, I'm not going to do that. And I got mad. Why? You don't think I'm going to make the payment? He said, I know you'll make the payment. I know that you'll do everything that you have to do. He said, but you're about to get married. You're about to start a new job. The truck that you have, it's almost paid off. And it's in good shape. All of that logical stuff didn't make sense to me. All that I was thinking was, I want a new truck. And it was about a year later that I called him and I said, thank you. Because that first year, financially, was hard. And if I'd have taken on that extra debt, it would have been even harder. And even though I didn't understand why he was telling me no, him telling me no was in my best interest. We need to trust that God has our best interest at heart. And He knows what's best. Because as Isaiah 55 reminds us, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts, His knowledge is far above ours. So we need to trust Him. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Job became guilty of trying to use human understanding and reasoning to figure out why his life had taken a dramatic turn for the worse. And when you come to Job 42, you see God's response to Job. Essentially, God preaches a sermon to Job that if we're going to entitle it, it would be this: I am God and you are not. Because that's what Job 42 is all about. It's God just talking about all of these things that he did. And as Job was listening to this, I love Job's response in verse 3. It's Job 41. But I love his response in Job 42 in verse 3. After God preaches this sermon to him, Job says this: Who is this that I hide counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Job said, I overstepped. You know, I tried to look at things with my own very limited understanding. And that's something that we all struggle with. You know, many times we're guilty of putting God in a box, not because we're trying to limit God, but we have such a hard time wrapping our mind around God, around who He is and what He can do, what He's capable of. But the struggle is, if I'm going to trust God with all my heart, that requires me not to lean on my understanding. Because there are times where I feel like I have it all figured out, where I understand what's going on and I'm still wrong. But I serve a God who doesn't. See, we serve a God who sees the big picture and not just parts. We see parts. He sees everything. In the book of Romans, Paul is trying to figure out, or is trying to cope with his own personal weaknesses. And I appreciate, again, what's said about Paul. You know, Paul isn't painted in this perfect light. Paul admitted that he had shortcomings and that he had things that he struggled with. And I appreciate that because all of us are in the same boat. We all have weaknesses. We all have things that we struggle with. And he says this in verse 15 of Romans 7, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. I know what I need to do, but I don't do it." And Paul's frustrated that he's not better. He's frustrated that he's still struggling in this way. Can you identify with the statement that he made there? I don't know about you, but I get tired of myself, of having to ask God to forgive me again. And that's what Paul is saying there. And then in verse 24, out of frustration, he asks a question that we all want an answer to. "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? How will I fix this? How am I going to get past this? What's the answer?" And he answers his own question in verse 25. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." His answer is God. God's going to save me. God's going to help me. God's going to give me what I need. And see, Paul struggled with that. I keep messing up. Who's going to save me from this body of death? Paul struggled with understanding the love and the patience of God. But he still knew that the answer was God. Even though he didn't understand it, he knew that God was the answer. And it's still true with us. We can't look at God through our own understanding. We can't lean upon our own understanding. Putting our full faith and trust in Him is the answer for all of our questions. Solomon then says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." I want us to make a mental note of what was just said. Proverbs 3 and verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The simple truth is that many of us have difficulty coping with life struggles because we have mixed up priorities. We want God in part of our lives or most of our lives, but we still have aspects of our life that we don't include God. Now, I was sitting in a Bible class a couple of years ago, and a man made the statement that God really isn't concerned with our day-to-day life. God is only concerned about, you know, certain things. And that couldn't be furthest from the truth. Now, granted, God really doesn't matter or care what kind of cereal we eat this morning. But he is concerned with what goes on in our day-to-day interactions, in our day-to-day lives. How involved is God in your life? Is he a part of every aspect of your life? Is he involved in your decision-making process? How many major decisions in life do you make without praying or without asking for wisdom or if it was the best option? James calls this kind of life double-minded and unstable in James 1 in verse 8. If we want stability, then we must allow God to guide us in all of our ways. I can't have a part of life or an aspect of life where he's not involved. Whether it's where I choose to go to college, whether it's a career choice, whether it's a decision on, all right, is this a major purchase that I really need to make or not? Is this someone that I need to marry? It doesn't matter. God needs to be involved in every aspect of our life. What's being said here is pretty straightforward. It means that we have to internalize these truths and we have to make them a part of our lives. It means that all of our actions and all of our decisions are dependent upon trusting in the Lord and leaning on him. This morning, I want us to try to put ourselves in Job's shoes. It's really difficult to do that sometimes. Now, we try to do that when we have someone that is experiencing a tragedy and we want to try to help them. We try to put ourselves in their place and say, all right, if it was me, what would I need? And the fact is, there's just certain things that we just can't understand until we experience it ourselves. But this morning, I want us to try our best to put ourselves in Job's situation. In a very, very short period of time, you lose your wealth, you lose your family, you lose your health, and you lose your friends. By themselves, if just one of these things happened, it would be incredibly difficult, but we could manage. It doesn't seem overwhelming. It seems more manageable, I should say. But just one of these things didn't happen. Job lost all of these things in a very short period of time. I think it's easy for us to recognize that together these things are overwhelming. And when all of these things are happening, when there is absolute chaos going on, and it feels like every time that Job looks up, he's getting hit with another tragedy. He's getting hit with something else. In the midst of all of the calamity, what is Job's reaction? Read with me Job 1 in verse 20. Then Job arose, tore his robes, shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. Job didn't tear his robe. Job didn't fall down on the ground and give up. Job knew exactly what to do. Job knew exactly who to turn to. All of us have to put our trust, or all of us, I should say, have put our trust in other people. or even ourselves. And all of us have been dropped. Not intentionally. But there are just some things that, because we're human, we fail from time to time. We disappoint one another. Caleb was about 2 years old, and we were up in the mountains, 3 years old. We were up in Gatlinburg, headed to Kate's Cove. And we stopped on the side of the road, and we were going to walk up this embankment. And I'm carrying Caleb. And I slip, and I fall, and I drop Caleb. And he cries for a little bit, but I get him calmed down. I ask him if he's okay. He says yes. We get back in the car. And Lori says, "What happened?" And Caleb said, "Dad dropped me." It wasn't intentional. It's not something I wanted to do. It was an accident. And when we put our trust in other people and we put our trust in ourselves, no matter the best of intentions and no matter how hard they try, because we're human, we'll drop somebody. We'll let ourselves down. But Job didn't turn to just anybody. Job didn't put his trust in his friends. He didn't put his trust in his wife. He didn't even put his trust in himself. Job, when everything was falling apart, he fell on the ground and he worshiped God. Because he recognized that God would never drop him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Why? Because God will never disappoint. He will never drop you. And if I really want to matter, if I really want to live a life that makes an impact on everyone that I come in contact with, that influences people to grow closer to God, it starts by living a life in complete trust to the Father. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Where are you this morning? Have you made the greatest decision that you can make? Have you even began living a life trusting God? You see, that begins by making the greatest decision that you can make, the decision of obeying the gospel. And if you need to make that decision this morning, I beg you to do so. There's no better time than right now to begin changing or repenting of your sins, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, to have every sin you've ever committed washed away by the blood of Christ through the waters of baptism, to rise up a new creation, to rise up to walk that new life. Maybe you've done that, but somewhere along the way, maybe you've caused doubt to interfere with your relationship with God. Maybe you haven't been living trustfully. You know the changes that you need to make, and you can start making those changes right where you sit this morning. But perhaps you need us as your forever family to pray with you, to encourage you, to let you know that we're here and that we love you. We're always honored to do that. If we can help you in any way this morning, please won't you come as we stand and as we sing.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. A day I will never forget.
We hope you've enjoyed another lesson from God's Word. We invite you to join us at our worship services at the Fort Payne Church of Christ. Bible study Sunday morning at 9:30, worship service Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday Bible study at 6:30 p.m. Visit us at our website at www.fortpaynecoc.com.
Oh, heaven came down and glory filled my soul.